Bit of a grim topic today, but I think it's a necessary one. You might recall a while back I did an entire video on effectively the semantic shift of the word cope, in the sense that it used to mean something else and now it means something different. Now we're not going to rehearse all of that again, but for those of you who did not watch that video, or maybe you're older and you're not aware, cope used to mean one thing, say 40, 50 years ago, and the last 10 years has taken on a completely different meaning. It used to mean you attempting to deal with something, basically. So, you know, your brother passes and somebody asks you, how are you coping with the loss? Something like that. Oh, I'm coping okay, or I'm not coping okay. He's coping with the aftermath of the accident. All right. That kind of thing. These days, it really just means delusion. You're coping, i.e. you're deluding yourself into something. That's basically the nitty-gritty of it. There's a lot more to that, but if you're interested, you can go check out that video. It's in the backlog somewhere. But today I want to talk about what I believe ultimately is true, that there are two types of cope, that everything obviously in life is cope. There is this notion that some people propagate that it's not the case that everything is cope, but really, at the end of the day, we are these finite creatures who have been cursed or blessed, I think more cursed than blessed, with this powerful sense of mortality salience. And it's always pushing us in a direction either to deny the reality of our termination or to accept it and then come up with ways of trying to circumvent it. Now, mind you, all of these ways of circumventing it fail, obviously, eventually, because, well, that's the nature of our existence. We are destined to be terminated, so to speak. But I've come to the conclusion in the great cope of life that there are really two types of copes, and maybe some subcategories within those two types, but there's conscious cope and there's subconscious cope. And I think the latter is a lot more common than the former, vastly more common. So let's first talk about conscious cope. Conscious cope is really you being aware of something, however small or large it might be, and doing things proactively to try to avoid dealing with that. So maybe you have some stressful project at work, or you're a student at university and you have to hand in a thesis, and you don't really want to do the work, and you're tired, or you're hungover, or whatever, and you end up playing video games all day. That would be a conscious cope. You're aware that you have things you need to do, and you're deluding yourself by thinking that, well, if I just play some video games, it'll be okay. And when in reality, you're just pushing it further back, you're kicking the can down the road, so to speak, and you're making your situation worse for yourself. There are all kinds of conscious copes. I would say the vast majority of people who are hyper aware of these types of topics that I'm talking about right now and other adjacent topics, if you will, tend to engage in a more conscious cope than they do a subconscious cope. Although they're not entirely exclusive, I think there's always a bit of overlap, and nobody's perfect. We all have our subconscious copes as well. But needless to say, conscious cope is not very common. People do it to basically avoid things, knowing that it's not going to produce a good outcome. In my case as well, I do that sometimes. And even in cases, I would argue, where you're not actively trying to shirk responsibilities or not do something, let's say you have a free day. That free day, when you decide, say, to play video games upon the release of some game that was hotly anticipated, you know you're coping. It's the one day you have free during the week when you otherwise have to slave away at work or what have you. Even when you're taking days off of work because you are looking forward to, say, playing a video game. You see this all the time. Oh, I took 3 days off so I could play this game. These are conscious copes, and everyone does them to some extent. Because even there, there's a bit of delusion. We all have this tendency to try to butter up our own situations for ourselves. Nobody wants to think that they have been subjected to the worst outcomes or worse outcomes than they otherwise would have liked to have had. But I don't think conscious cope, as I said, is super common for some of the most impactful things in life. And I'm going to tell you a story. I recently encountered somebody I know pretty well, an elderly man whose wife is dying. And I also know that this woman, his wife, treated him very poorly. Occasional sparks of being nice here and there, maybe kindness, but something like 80 to 85%, he was treated very, very poorly. Lots of verbal abuse, and some other things on occasion as well. In addition, she didn't treat her children very well either. And so She just wasn't a very good mother or a very good wife. I know this, other people know this, and I was talking to him, and I was listening to what he had to say, and he was basically telling me that he knew, after nearly 60 years of marriage, that deep down, his wife actually loved him. Deep down, she actually loved her children. Deep down, somewhere off in this far, starry realm removed from our reality, she actually felt X, even though, based on her behavior, everything else was to the contrary of that. Even though it was very obvious to, I think, him, as well as his children, as well as other people observing from the outside who knew this particular family, that this was not an especially nice woman. And she almost certainly did not love him. And she probably didn't love her children either. Now, she is technically still alive, but not really. She's on her way out. But I just listened to this elderly man, right? 86. And I'm thinking this is one of the saddest and, unfortunately, most delusional copes I've ever heard in a long time. Now, it's not for me, and I'm not the type of person to try to burst people's bubbles. I don't think I'm doing anyone a service when I say, well, actually, your wife didn't love you and she treated you like garbage. And you're just deluding yourself. You're coping. I mean, what purpose would that serve? Any more than when I encounter religious people. I encounter religious people on more than one occasion. As all of you know, pay attention, I am completely irreligious. I think all the metaphysical claims are BS. But when somebody who's grieving or suffering says that X person is a better place and they know that God is watching over them, I don't say anything. What's the point, right? That's the whole point of most of these delusional copes, ultimately, whether it's this elderly man or religious people, is to help address this fundamental issue of mortality salience. Now, you might ask the question, such as, what is the connection between mortality salience and a marriage that was predicated on self-delusion, at least on the part of this man? But the reality is that given the finitude of our life, ultimately, many people want to make sure that their lives have been worthwhile. And that's especially true when they're nearing the end, when you're 86 or in your 90s, when you're older. And so that's when the true test comes. I say test, it's not really a test, but rather people ask themselves, has my life been worth it? Have I done X, Y, Z? And has it brought me happiness or things that are worth it in life? Hell, even in my case, I'm not quite yet 50. Who knows how long I'll live? I never know that. You don't know that. We don't know that. But I look back at my 20s and think, wow, what a waste. What I could have done better or differently. And we think about this quality of wasting time in life, largely due to our mortality salience. You know, in D&D, they talk about dragons, and dragons, some dragons of these, can live thousands of years. If you're a gold dragon, you can easily live 4,400 years. And even a chromatic red dragon easily lives 2,500 years. So from the draconic perspective, or even an elven perspective of, you know, maybe 700, 800, 900, in some cases 1,000 years, you're a lot less rushed in life. And even in these fantasy settings, you frequently see humans being portrayed as these very frenetic, stressed out beings who are always trying to get things done because the clock is ticking. So they try their best to get as many things done as possible in the short lifespan they have because they don't have 4,000 plus years or even 800 years, right? So that's what we do, I think, even when we're not consciously thinking about the termination of our lives. But it must be especially troubling when you've been married for nearly 60 years and the only thing you can tell yourself to sort of justify this end of your dying wife is that ultimately she did, deep down in some other dimension, love you and her children when manifestly, based upon her behavior, not for years but for decades, the opposite appeared to be true. Now, to be fair, this was a common thing back then. They met back in the 60s, and there was social pressure, and they barely knew each other, like 2 months or something along those lines. And you know how it is, or was back then at least. There was social pressure to get married, and that's what they did. But they didn't really know each other very well. And that's the problem. Now they have to deal, or he has to deal, with the consequences of nearly 60 years of largely delusional marriage, of a woman who is at times cruel, vicious, apathetic, uncaring, and the list goes on and on. Now, I'm using this example because I think it's a prime example, one of the best ones you could come up with. A man nearing the end of his life, at the end of his marriage, who deluded himself. Which is not to say that every marriage is necessarily a delusion. I'm not making that claim. There are few and far between, mind you, some marriages that are actually predicated on legitimate feelings. This was not one of them. And this is a perfect example of the subconscious delusion that I think the vast majority of people have, the cope that they need to engage in order to get through life. Imagine being this individual man 20, 30, 40 years ago, and listening to all the vitriol of your wife, and then trying to rationalize it or justify it. Better to cope, better to subconsciously delude yourself and think, well, she doesn't really mean that. It's because of her temper or hormones or whatever. And so that's why we're all coping at the end of the day. But some people do it more consciously than others. And most people just do it subconsciously. Most people need something to grapple onto. And far be it for me to try to take it away from them. In truth, if I'm honest, and I tell this to a friend of mine, I'm very envious of certain types of copes, religious copes in particular, the belief in an afterlife, the belief in some omniscient being that invigilates over you in the world that allegedly cares about you. I truly, truly wish I could believe that. I know I would feel better about my life. I know I would do better in life, perhaps be more motivated or take your pick of anything. So the truth is, no matter what people say, we're all coping. We're all coping with this very unusual circumstance of mortality salience. The termination, obviously, is not an unusual circumstance. I mean, every organism is terminated eventually. It's just that we're hyper aware of it. Now, there's some speculation that other species are too, elephants and whales and what have you. Maybe that's true. As far as we're aware, in an active sense, we're the only animals who are aware of this. And this leads to cope. All kinds of cope. And that's what cope really means at the end of the day, in its modern incarnation. Pretending that things are better than they actually are. And we all do it to varying degrees. Sometimes consciously, more often subconsciously. And in my humble opinion, depending on what it is, you should probably let the people have their copes. Life is hard enough. Let the people have their copes. As long as they're not harming you with the copes, as long as they're not actively hostile towards you with the copes, let the people keep their copes, no matter how ridiculous you might think they are. Anyway, as always, thank you very much for watching. Many special thanks to my patrons on Patreon and my donors on PayPal. Without you and your generous support, this channel could not exist, so thank you very much indeed. And if you can engage in the usual YouTube jazz of liking the video, sharing the video, leaving a comment, maybe subscribing if you're not yet subbed, you're much appreciated. If I'm still alive, I'll check you out then. Until the next time, may the gods truly watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.